Oh, look, it's 8 o'clock. Start the broadcast.
9 o'clock.
What I was saying just before you were connecting is that this is
I'm the only white person on the show. Is that
No. There's no there. This entire show is of color.
I am what?
Yep. Sorry, Rita.
How do you figure?
I read a very, very interesting article about how Ireland used to be part of the Moorish Empire.
Bullshit.
And so, hey man, it's on the internet.
It's on the internet.
It must be true. Okay. And of course, since that Al and I are all of Scottish descent, that pretty much makes us all Moors.
Speak for yourself. We're in the other island.
Yeah, the island filled with black people.
No. I'm not in the dark.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Whatever.
I used to work with a black guy whose skin was lighter than mine.
In the summer.
And let's face it.
It was in Philadelphia.
Oh.
There's not much suntanning going on in Philadelphia.
And also, what is it that they always say about black ladies? That they're sassy. And what's the story with Brita? Brita's sassy.
Oh, well, there you go.
Therefore, Brita equals black lady.
Fine.
It's got to be true.
Hey, if it works for Bill Clinton, right?
So that's right. Brita's now a triple minority.
Ooh.
That's right. And if she weighs as much as a duck, a witch!
I weigh more than a duck. Guaranteed. Unless it's a really big duck.
Really big duck.
Have you sat on the balance yet with a duck?
I have not.
Well, you don't know then.
Especially if it's a muscovoy. Them fuckers are huge.
They're still birds. They have hollow bones, right?
They sure do.
Somebody go find Howard the Duck real quick.
They're filled with helium.
Oh, God. I actually rewatched that recently. Oh, boy.
Howard the Duck?
Yeah.
Wow.
You just watched it to see Leah Thompson's underwear.
I didn't even watch that in the 80s.
Yeah, I watched
it. I was of the age when Howard the Duck was a thing.
You were not. You're far too young.
I'm younger than Brita, and therefore I was prime demographic of that movie. Was awesome. It had duck tits, and it was an animatronic duck, and it was, yeah, I thought it was
1986. So I was in the sixth grade. So yeah.
Yep. And so I thought it was hilarious, and then I rewatched it, and oh my God, oh, that was brutal.
He wasn't really a good-looking duck.
No, he was not. I don't
have anything to, you know, measure Howard against.
Well, he's not even a good-looking Howard the Duck.
Right.
The one in Guardians of the Galaxy seemed pretty cool.
Oh, man.
9:03, it's already off the rails.
I know. I am.
Are we broadcasting?
Yeah, we are. We're live.
Shit. I mean, darn it. No, I'm kidding.
Let's, as we sometimes do, let's introduce ourselves. I'm Alan.
I'm Jay.
I'm Weird.
Brita.
What?
Say your name.
No.
Can't make me.
It's Brita.
It's Brita.
The Moor.
Actually, after how many shows have we done now?
100. This is 151.
151. Somebody asked me on Facebook, how do you pronounce your name? Okay, let me say it for you. Brita.
Brenda.
Brenda. Brita, 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 Brita. And,
Barbara Ann.
I am drinking a nice bottle of gumption.
Nice. That is very good.
Did you say a bottle of gumption? Yes. Guys, get me some gumption.
It is a bottle of gumption.
It is good.
I'm drinking a martini because my daughter cries.
you're crying is why daddy drinks.
Oh, God. Such a sassy little girl.
Is she black?
Yes.
Apparently she is.
Hey, she's like a quarter. She's Irish and Italian.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you call a half and half?
Well, she's not the mulatto.
Oh, man. Hey, let's do this real quick.
Okay.
Hey, that switch right there. It is Thursday, May 21st, 2015. This is episode 151.
I'm going to start telling my daughter that she's a quadroon.
Octroon.
Oh, man.
Do we get the R rating for racist?
Yes. By default.
No, we can't because we're all of color.
We can't be racist, Brita.
We're not Democrats.
Our people aren't racist.
Our people?
That's right. But honestly speaking, we got to talk about how we got to get Whitey down because, let me tell you, Whitey's out to get all of us squirrels.
Bulger?
Yes. No.
We already have a caller.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's area code 508. Hello.
That's Arctic Elk.
Hey, it's the Arctic Elk.
You knew.
Hello?
Hello?
So hello. So what do you got for us?
On the topic of race and
this is
what
not
we're calling
the topic.
People. No, but I've got one for you here.
All right.
So POC in my
color.
Industry is usually that's what it means on Facebook and on the left side of the internet. But in my industry, POC means point of contact.
That's what it means to me.
Yes.
Yeah, so I caught myself last week sending out a dozen emails in a row saying, I need a POC for something.
No.
Yeah.
I've done that many times.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. We're doing contracts. I need people to talk to me about areas of their expertise.
Yep.
So the question is, how long until that becomes a racist,
for HR? I don't know, but a trigger warning.
Well, the person you need to contact needs to be at least an octoroon.
I don't care as long as they're smart.
Never mind.
Yeah, no, I get.
I'm out.
I've actually heard point of contact more than I've heard anything else. So
yeah.
In any professional setting. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those like it'll become a racist term as soon as it's useful to the progressives.
Yeah. Look at thug. It's a term that dates back to 19th century India. Actually, it's older than 19th century, but it became of note during the colonization period.
It came to English then.
What's that?
It came to English then.
Correct. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And what was a thug in that context?
It was an actual group in India that would basically just maraud through towns, killing people at will.
The thuggies.
Okay.
Thuggies, yes. And
today
it was stopped
by
men with guns. Go figure.
How about that?
Yeah. But yeah, no, but it's one of those things of the, yeah, no, I just saw Joan Peterson drop the, whatever the newest post of the, oh, by the way, if you're saying thug, it's now officially the M-bomb, it's one of those, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get the fucking memo. I was using it in the previous term, very similar.
If you are a group that attempts to control a person's language, it's a very... It's you're controlling that person.
It's Orwellian.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, if you're offended by the person's language, or if you say it means something else, if you're putting limits on someone's language, you are attempting to control that person.
That's exactly what
it is. It's even worse because they'll assign meanings. Is one of those someone will use the term thug for a violent, criminal-minded individual.
Right.
And they will turn it down to meaning, disrespectful term for black people.
Well,
and
who
give
is
you
the
no
there.
Yeah. And since they're the progressive and you're the other, there's no backsies on that one. So ta-da, you're just talking about how them nasty darkies are getting all uppity and stuff. And that's not at all what you said, but hey, too late, no backsies.
Exactly. And who was the racist in that equation? Really?
Mm-hmm.
If the liberal person thinks, hey, thug equals black person, Whereas I didn't, when I use the word thug, I don't think black person at all.
Well, you're talking about
behavior. I think, you know, whatever, but yeah.
You're talking about a group of people that thinks black hole is racist.
Well, I do not think that they think in their hearts. I don't think they actually think that these things are racist. I think they just are using it as a means of control.
I'm not sure I agree with you. I think there's a small percentage of them who are actually evil, but I think the vast majority of them honestly believe it. I think the vast majority of people who are out there screaming and ranting and being amusing on Larry Crea's Facebook feed and worrisome to the rest of us. No, I think they actually believe it.
But why do they believe it? Where have they heard this idea?
Well, all sorts of places.
It's like go upstream and see where the idea comes from.
Well,
media, the people who create the narrative.
Yeah, but there is that small subset of people who are actually evil. You can track it back there, and you can see the source. But it's also a positive feedback loop, if I may say so. It's a vicious circle of self reinforcing bullshit.
I'm gonna hang up on you for that.
Don't hang up on me.
But yeah, no, I actually gotta turn around and agree with Arctic Elf on that one. The movement is always started by evil, is by people of the, well, let's take this away, or let's change this the meaning of this commonly used word, so therefore, and we change it to this really, really charged word, so that anyone that uses a fairly mundane statement, you know, kind of like Mitt Romney using the term tar baby.
Right.
You know, or hell, the term Sambo is one that always scratches my head, because that was a story that I loved as a child. And
with the running around the tiger and creating butter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not even butter in the original translation, creating ghee, because Little Black Sambo was an African. He was an African, an Indian, excuse me, Indian prince. He was an Indian prince and he outwitted tigers, a little boy who outwitted tigers. And it's one of those things of he's an amazing protagonist, but suddenly that's something horrible.
Right.
That'd be like me all of a sudden saying, you know, I'm going to create a racist slur for someone. I'm going to call people Aragorns. Well, he was a great character. He's an idealist, you know, character. How can that be offensive?
I think they've beaten you to that. It's called a white knight.
Yeah. And also at the same time, you've got all these people that are like upset about the Native American, you know, sports mascots when, again, there's no, like, you know, the East Hampton banana slugs or the, you know, or the Willoughby crotch lice. There's no, you know, there's no, like, horrible, horrible
there
vermin.
Should be.
That's right.
Actually, it's the Willoughby Rebels.
Oh, that'll go soon.
No. That's no racist. One has ever. Nope.
Yeah, just wait.
They're on the wrong side of the Mason-Dixon line.
Maybe.
Yeah, which rebels are they? Which rebels are they talking about?
They are
Willoughby rebels.
Yes, they're talking about the Southern rebels.
All right. Well, we got more callers. Thanks for calling in, Arkell.
Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Our topic is not about race.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Our topic's about hunting.
Hunting.
But let's take this other call real quick since they called in. It's area code 207. Hello.
What's up, Weird Beard and Co?
Hey, Ryan. What's going on, man?
Who's Ryan?
Not much.
This is Ryan, the host of Handgun Radio, one of my other side projects.
Hi, Ryan.
One of the podcasts you're cheating us with.
Yeah.
We're in an open relationship.
We only find those crappy hotel rooms. I know you're thinking
so I hear
you when you're on the other show, Weird.
So Weird told me y'all were talking about hunting tonight.
Yes.
Well,
that is our topic.
Weird, you haven't told any stories. Do you even hunt?
I killed a couple of prairie dogs once.
I was there.
Jay was there.
Let me guess, you used a shotgun.
No, I was using a 223.
Oh, okay. Which one do you want first? Weird. Okay. Interesting or funny or just kind of like, yeah.
I'll let the other guys pick it because I've heard them.
Well, the call-in topic is what was your first time hunting?
There you go. That's easy.
My first hunting story?
Yes.
I was probably, I want to say 16, 17 years old. And I only got to go out every once in a while, but we had hunted basically all day. Our hunting camp was in Athens, Maine, which is a nice little town. And we had this old beat-up camper in the middle of this field, like no wheels on it, just sitting in the middle of the field. That was our hunting camp. And we hunted all day, didn't see a damn thing. I was using a Savage 24F 30-30 12-gauge over-under. And so it's probably just 15 minutes before sunset, and I had fallen asleep inside the camper, and my mom's boyfriend, like, all of a sudden, he starts shaking me awake quietly, and it's like, there is a deer right outside the window. And so I'm like, oh, great. And then I fell back asleep because I'm a 17-year-old kid who likes to sleep. And so he kind of hits me in the face a little bit. If you don't wake up and shoot this thing, I'm going to shoot it. So I'm like, all right. So I wake up, and he just kind of, like, basically turns the crank on the window and opens this little crappy window in the camper. And he goes, just stick the barrel up the window. And I'm like, what? How am I going to do that? And he just do it. Just do it. So we stick this barrel up the window. I didn't hear the shot. I used the 30-30, and he was probably 75 yards away. Up in here in Maine, we don't get. You're lucky if you get a shot beyond 150 yards. And so iron sights with a 30-30 and dropped him right where he stood. Heart shot, first shot. Didn't hear the shot, didn't really feel the recoil. As we started walking down towards the deer, my hearing started to kind of come back. The adrenaline wore off, and then I could hear the ringing in my ears. So that was always fun.
Wow.
That was my first time. And then I was telling Weirdbeard about my funny story. We were hunting. This was probably 2 or 3 years ago, and I was using a 357 Magnum handgun. We don't have any restrictions up here in terms of as long as it's over 22 rimfire, you're all set. And so I was using some loads I'd cooked up, 158 grain with some H110, just some Hornady XTP. And hunted all day, didn't see a thing. We were just getting frustrated. So me and my buddy, the Mad Aussie, sat down behind this tree, and we were enjoying a smoke break. And I hear this rustling behind us. So we're sitting there, and I kind of looked at him. And I just whispered. I said, I bet you that's Ed. He's probably going to sneak up on us. There's this guy we were hunting with. So we waited, and it got closer and closer and closer. And at the last second, we spin around, two does, probably within 10, 15 yards away from us. The minute we spun around, I couldn't get my gun out. He had a rifle. He couldn't get his around. He had a doe permit. And the minute I spun around, they ran away. It was just like, it was just ridiculous. All day, we spent all that day. We probably hiked around probably 7 or 8 miles. Didn't see a damn thing, and then we're sitting there enjoying smoke, and these two walk up right behind us. So, yeah, those are probably my two most interesting.
They snuck up on you. That's not how hunting works.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And we were smoking cigarettes. Yeah, so I don't understand. Maybe they wanted a marb.
It's like you were doing everything wrong.
Ask him if we can bum one.
Yeah.
I know, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, what was the one you were talking about, Weird? The one with the surplus ball?
Exactly.
So this one, it's not as interesting as the others, I suppose, but I had just bought, this was the second deer I got, I had just bought a Mosin, whatever you want to call it, Mosin Nagant M44, and it came with a bag of this yellow-tipped ammunition. And I didn't know what the yellow tip was, so I had fired it, like, 3 or 4 times before we went out just to make sure it hit where I wanted to. And I was like, this ammunition is extremely powerful. Now,
And correct me if I'm wrong, Weird, but the yellow tip is the machine gun, the heavy ball, right?
Heavy ball.
Yeah. So this stuff puts out quite a bit of blast and muzzle noise and sometimes a pretty decent flash as well. And we were in China, Maine, and took a shot at a deer probably 50-ish yards away with it. And at this point in time, I didn't know where to find 7.62x54 like soft tips, and Walmart didn't carry it, and most of the gun shops around here didn't carry like the Winchester. I found some since then, but so I was using the surplus ball stuff and dropped him right where he was. He may have gone a few steps, but just tore him out. He ended up being around 140, 150 pounds. He was small for a buck. But yeah, it was just weird seeing the terminal performance of that ball round on the deer, because you would think that, you know, an FMJ, everybody says it just punches a clean hole and they'll run for miles, but that heavy ball really, really tore him up inside.
Cool.
So yeah, that's it.
and did he taste good?
He did. He tasted very good. We made quite a bit of deer jerky out of him. It was so good. I was eating it at school, and I ended up having to stop because my inside of my mouth got sore from all the salt and all the chewing.
That'll happen.
But yeah, so those are my hunting stories.
Cool.
So hoping next year to go out with a. I'm trying to get a hold of a long slot Glock. I'd like to get a hold of one of those 10 millimeters and use that. But
kill a deer with a Glock. So, Do you need to have a magazine restriction when you're using a handgun, or do they not care?
I don't know. As far as I know, most everybody I know just loads the mags with the number of rounds. When I used a revolver, because it's 5 rounds up here, when I used a revolver, just to be safe, I only loaded it with 5 rounds. Mm-hmm. But as far as I know, I don't believe there's any, like, you actually have to have only a 5-round magazine, because some guns don't have a 5-round mag.
Yep.
So as far as I know, and I'm not a lawyer, so don't quote me on that.
Ryan said.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, all I know is I've got
said it was okay.
I have a 5-round FAL magazine because a deer in Maine is gonna die to one of my FAL rounds.
Oh, that'd be neat.
Well, there you go. You'll have to come up this coming deer season.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll happen this one, but I really got to get off my ass.
All right. Well, hopefully I'll be listening in here, so hopefully hear some more interesting stories than mine.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling, and your podcast is
Handgun Radio.
I know that.
Yes, handgunradio.com. Weird is a frequent guest. Yeah, we go get that cheap motel room, and he cheats on you guys.
I've heard Weird on Handgun Radio, and I don't get jealous. I promise.
I do.
Well, Rita's the jealous type, anyway.
All right. Well, enjoy your show, and can't wait to hear it.
All right. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks.
So, anyway, our topic tonight. It's funny we've had a couple of call-ins, and we haven't even got to our topic yet. Jay went hunting.
Yay!
And I believe it's the first time you ever went hunting, isn't it?
Officially, I mean, I was on the same prairie dog excursion with Weird.
But yeah, that doesn't count.
Yeah, that's
did you
really
eat the prairie dog?
What's that?
Did you eat the prairie dog afterwards?
Considering that they'd been poisoning them, no.
Okay.
Yeah, this. So, why don't you tell us about it, Jay?
All right. Well, it was an industry event. It was a joint venture between the good folks at Crimson Trace and the good folks at FLIR. Crimson Trace, of course, makes most everybody's familiar with the grip lasers, and FLIR makes thermal imaging scopes. Basically, it uses infrared wavelengths converted to visible that you can see through the scope. Basically, it picks up heat.
Sorry, you're working off a natural heat, and you're not using illuminating lights.
Correct. Yeah, it's not like the traditional green IR. It's picking up the heat signature.
Okay,
cool.
It's really, really cool. It's like it's something out of sci-fi.
So you're the fucking predator.
Yes. That's yes. There were quite a few. Get to the chopper, but So we were down at Tatum Plantation in Mississippi, and they have, oh goodness, hundreds of acres.
Oh, Mississippi. I thought you were in Louisiana for some reason.
Oh, we also hunted in Louisiana. Okay. It's down. It's only like a half an hour from the border.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said it wrong.
So.
Louisiana.
Louisiana, yeah.
You gotta say it right.
And by the way, Jay, just to make me more jealous, because again, a southern hog hunt is something that I definitely have on my bucket list. But am I understanding that you were getting paid the entire time?
Yes, that is correct.
Oh my God,
son of a bitch!
It as I said, it was an industry event.
This asshole used to live an hour from me, and now he's buying P-Mags and getting paid to shoot pigs with infrared scopes.
Oh, man.
Who bought your outfit?
What's that?
Did you buy your outfit?
No, I did not. That was a kind loan from the good folks of American Hunter in at the NRA. Okay.
So, Jay,
what's that?
What were you wearing?
Yeah. Actually, I committed a horrible, horrible hunting fashion faux pas.
Your camo doesn't match?
I mixed mossy oak and real tree. Apparently.
Oh, no.
Mossy oak versus real tree is like the 1911 versus Glock of the hunting world.
So you were wearing Crypt and Blood colors at the same time. No,
that's like you put a Chevy small block into your Mustang GT. Oh.
I had a Glock and 45 or a 1911 and 9mm.
Oh.
So.
Weird, I posted a link in the chat.
Oh, thank you. Aw. Jesus, that's a good size piggy.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, thank you, Brita.
That's a good size hog there. Now, the show, it is the show with more hogs.
The show with literally more hog.
Yep. That's right. Also, Jay has a sizable porn mustache.
He does have a good porn stash there.
Yeah.
And look at the size of that hog.
That's right.
And the pig's not bad either.
He stole that mustache and the hog off of John Holmes.
I posted that on the work Facebook page and saw one of the best comments ever. And it was, he didn't actually shoot the hog. His mustache jumped off and choked it out. So.
Oh, man.
So anyway, we had both the FLIR thermal scopes and the Crimson Trace lasers, and we were hunting. We hunted basically from dusk until we got too tired to hang out in the tree stand.
How the hell do you hunt with a laser?
Well, that's an excellent question. I will be describing it in full detail, of course, at the work site. But basically, you sight the laser in at a known distance. We chose 50 yards because that, you know, that gives you a pretty wide range from 25 to almost 100. Anything beyond 100, especially with the thermal scope, is I wasn't about to take that kind of shot, not in the dark.
Okay.
But basically, look through the thermal scope, you'd see animals. I mean, once they get close enough to take an ethical shot, you can clearly identify, you know, what type of animal it is. I mistook very, very briefly a possum for a hog, and then it got closer, and I'm like, "Oh wait, that's not a pig." But so, and
yeah,
basically,
a lot uglier.
Yes, but you know, basically, it's low to the ground versus, you know, very upright like a deer. Which, by the way, I saw more deer in the past 3 days because I didn't have a deer tag.
Of course,
that's how it works. Yep,
they were brazen. They were just like nyah 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 nyah, grumble grumble.
Did they ask you for a smoke?
Yeah, pretty much. They snuck up on me. Had their way with me. So, it basically, Monday night we were in Mississippi, Tuesday night Louisiana, and Wednesday back in Mississippi. The first two nights, I did not see a single pig. I was quite disappointed. Wednesday night was like my last night. The outfitters are really good. They're like, we're going to put you in a place we've seen them a lot recently, and got there early, set up, got myself all squared away, and right after dusk, pretty much as soon as the light went out, I'm just scanning, and I saw the outline of what I figured was a hog, and my hunting partner was Mike Faw from Crimson Trace, and he's an old pro at hunting. And he keeps telling me, you know, wait till they get closer. Let them get closer. I mean, it was right out of Star Wars. Stay on target. And they finally meandered. There was one, and then there was two, and there was a whole bunch of little ones, and then there was a third. And I'm just looking at, this is like Hogapalooza, and I'm itching. I'm getting the sweats. I'm ready because this is like the big chance. And, you know, the back of my head, I'm hearing, you know, come back with your hogger on it. And waited until they got close enough and, you know, about 50 yards out. I said, okay, this is it. It's showtime. I picked the biggest one square right behind the front leg and caught her good. Tried to get the little ones as they were running away, but no confirmed hits. And then we called in the outfitters. They brought the dog. They found where the hog had ended up, and there we are.
Cool.
It was awesome. I really have to say.
So where's the bacon at?
It is in my refrigerator right now.
Oh, very nice.
Because heck yeah.
Well, that's a great story.
Well, thank you. I had a lot of fun and very grateful to everybody involved for the help and the sponsorship and just being in a position to be able to do this.
Now, let's talk about the real topic.
No. Wait. What's the real topic?
Those fire ants.
No. I want to go back to the shooting of the pig.
Okay.
Because this is the first time you've actually like hunted something, right, Jay?
That is correct.
I've never gone hunting. Although it is something that I think I could do. Although there's that thing of, oh my gosh, I'm killing a thing. Did you ever, like, was that a thing for you?
He's Italian.
Hey!
Second nature to us. No, there is a point. That's an excellent point. It's something it's much easier with feral hogs. They're an invasive species. They're very destructive, and there's a ton of them.
And they're not cute.
You know, honestly, that's part of it. You know, if they look like puppies, I don't know that other people could do it. But right. You know, knowing that I was going to take some of the food, the rest of it's going to be quartered up, and I believe they're actually going to give it to a local shelter.
Nice. Food.
So, you know, a lot of good comes out of it.
Yeah, that's my one thing. I always think to myself, you know, could I pull the trigger? And then I think, I love meat.
Well,
you know, and venison is just delicious. And we have so many deer here, and they're just, you know.
They're the most dangerous species in North America.
Yeah,
they kill more people than anything else.
That's just because we don't have hippos.
That is true. Hippos are pretty fucking dangerous.
True.
At least outside of Walmart.
And I've heard they're also delicious. Yeah, I've heard they're good.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you, if there was one in my backyard, it would be on my grill.
No, but that is an issue. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, we have a lot of shooters on our show, but not everybody goes hunting, right?
Yep.
It's an issue.
I'm 44 years old, and this is the first time I've ever gone. There were guys there half my age who absolutely dwarfed me in experience. A lot of folks start very young.
Let's take a call.
Okay, good.
Area code 915. Hello.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Weird, you lied to me. It was warm.
What was warm?
Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It does that.
Yeah, except on the very last day, like, oh, okay, I brought the wrong clothes. I'll wear short sleeves. My brother-in-law sent me. Well, I ain't there anymore. It's about 75 right now. 7:38 p.m. Still nice and sunny. Fixing the chicken coop where the daggum foxes ate half our birds while we were on vacation.
Aw.
Who is this?
That sucks.
Yeah, who is this?
It's the same one it never is.
It's the mystery caller.
Oh.
Who is that man in black?
You're going to have to come up with like a screen name or something.
I would say I need a theme song, except that Helen would be the one doing the picking, and I'm afraid of that.
Well, all right. So after the show.
The guy that brought down the brought down Nixon went by the name of Deep Throat.
There you go.
So so I think this mystery caller, let's call him Taboo 2.
Oh, what?
Call him Tattoo Diplane.
Okay, Alan or Brita, could you translate the Massachusetts from Maine and Virginian from Massachusetts for me?
No. Sorry, I can't do
Let
that.
Let Alan do it. That would be an interesting.
Whoa, we're getting a really cool echo.
I know.
Sorry.
Are you in the bathroom?
No.
No, I'm
talking to Brita. She's got a nice echo.
I'm in my dining room.
Oh, okay.
You need more paintings.
You need to hang some curtains.
Okay.
I just finished listening to last week, so I didn't get a chance to listen to it. So I have no idea what today's topic is, but last week's topic, you were talking about money. What are the most commonly used denominations? You know, you need new faces for them. It's what, the 1, the 5, the 20, and the 100? Oh, that's 4 faces. You all have 4 faces.
Oh, okay.
You might have 5, but I mean, Weird might have 2, but, you know, they could do it to 50 as well. And Grant had a beard.
I don't want to be on money.
Okay, Alan, we'll put you on a $2 bill.
Oh man,
we're gonna put Jay anyway, on the coin.
Well, our topic this week is Jay's hunting trip was his first excursion. So our call-in topic is tell us about your first hunting trip.
No. My first hunting trip was, shall we say, less than stellar experience.
That's even better.
I love hunting. I just wish I was better at it. Let's just say that I'm one of these fellows that no matter what tag he has in his pocket, if I have a deer tag, I will be able to walk up and pet a bull elk. If I have an elk tag, you know, all the deer flock to me, and I never even see hide nor hair of an elk. And we'll just leave it at that.
So what you need to do is find somebody to hunt with that'll have just the opposite tag of whatever you have.
Yeah, then we won't see a daggum thing.
Then they'll see nothing. They'll see nothing but 45 that. Skunk ape.
What
caliber for skunk ape? Orbital nuke.
375
just to
H&H.
Be sure. No, that'll do.
All right.
I'll let you be the one to shoot it weird.
Thanks for calling, mystery caller.
Yeah, and whatever those two came up with, no. I couldn't hear it. Just no.
All right. Bye. Weird.
Everybody, that was Taboo 2.
Taboo 2.
I named her after a good one. Look it up. It's on a bunch of the websites.
So, The other first for Jay this week was his introduction to the southern I guess it's not the official state animal of all the southern states, but it damn well could be.
And the chigger?
That is the southern fire ant, which is actually some sort of South American. It came from South America somewhere, but
I think it's from Mars.
It's all over the southern part of the country, and if you're not careful, they will bite you. And
they will.
And you never get bit by just one.
Yeah, no, I was very, very lucky. We were gathered for a group photo, and you know, we're out in a field because it's a nice natural setting, and you know, we're kind of kneeling around another downed pig, not mine, but the one that was shot the previous night, and. One of the guys looks over and he's like, Jay, just put your camera down in a fire ant mound. I was like, oh, crap. And then I looked down and I was kneeling right on the fire ant mound.
Oh.
So I got up and my boot is covered in fire ants. My camera case is covered in fire ants. I'm doing this frantic flailing limb chicken dance trying to get these damn creatures from hell off of me. And I'm just the arms are like, this is what the word akimbo was invented for. Because I was just, I looked like I was doing some kind of mutant space dance. I'm just flailing and spinning and cursing up the storm.
They were going straight for the mustache.
I'm ripping my boot off and whacking at my pants because they're crawling up my leg. I'm banging the boot against a log. Then I look over, and of course, you know, I've got the camera bag still in my hand, and they're all over my hand, biting the hell out of me. I'm like, you little bastards. But I only got 3 bites on my hand, so, and I'm not allergic. I came to find out, which was good.
What happens if you're allergic?
I would imagine, pretty much any.
It's a lot worse.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It'd be like anaphylactic shock, like if you're allergic.
I have actually never heard of anybody being allergic to fire ant bites.
I didn't know. I guess it's a different type of venom than like bees or hornets.
Yeah. Well, I think on my blog, I think I actually had a gun death report of someone getting killed with they were in a flood water, and they ball up.
Yeah, oh, they that is
covered
so
in water,
freaky.
And the
that
person got
so
hit
freaky.
Hit by like a squash ball sized wad of yeah. fire.
That's not allergic. That's just death by poison.
They died.
Yeah, you get well, and you know, fire ants routinely kill small animals. They're especially bad. Ranchers hate them because they're really bad on calves. Because you know, newborn calves kind of lay around on the ground a lot. And if they lay on a fire bed, they can get a swarm on them, and they can actually get bitten enough to die.
Yeah.
So it is not uncommon.
Yes. So the harsh northern winters are good for something.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Killing
no
the
either.
Evil insects.
Yep.
So is molten aluminum.
That's right.
Now,
God, I fucking love that.
I realize why they call them fire ants. Because when you find them, you kill them with fire. I was half tempted to just go take a couple gallons of gasoline out of one of the trucks and just, you know, make my own flamethrower.
You would not be the first person to do that.
Do the bites feel like fire?
Yes.
Yes.
They feel like stings.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're not quite like a bee sting, but on a par with a bee sting.
Hmm.
It's hard to explain.
They're not quite as bad.
Yeah. But it's very sharp. You know, I mean, you're instantly like, ow, damn it.
And Alan can smell it.
Yep.
Alan can smell them.
I'm surprised you could. Well, Jay couldn't smell them anyway. He didn't have
I could feel them.
Yeah.
But that's not really, you know, your.
And then they itch.
Yeah, that actually hasn't been that bad.
Just wait.
But that's because Jay sweats olive oil.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He's self-lubricant.
I did find out the secret. For a successful hog hunt, I had pork chops that night.
Ah.
I'm not kidding. I swear, hand to God, I had pork chops, and then I went out looking for pig.
Well, there you go.
Apparently, I was, you know, excreting pork through my pores and radiating pig.
They thought you were one of them.
One of us.
That's awesome.
Who's typing?
So, yes, firing.
I have no idea.
It's Jay. Jay's always typing.
Somebody's typing.
Jay never stops typing.
I can't. It's like speed. If I type under 55 words a minute, my keyboard explodes.
Oh, no.
So okay. Brita,
yeah. That calling number.
I've never been real hunting again. I've been as Kelly, the ambulance driver, said, I've been prairie dog shooting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, which was a lot of fun, but the,
yeah, that's not hunting. It really is.
I definitely, though, like Jay was saying, is one of those when I, you know, I wanted to go shoot a prairie dog because I like to shoot stuff. And, you know, I heard that there'd be prairie dog shooting and it seemed like an interesting experience.
Okay.
And wasn't super concerned about the whole morality of killing stuff because.
You kill mice every day.
I kill stuff for a living. So,
okay.
At this point.
Prairie dogs is more like shooting reactive targets at a range.
Yeah.
That was exactly what I wanted to do. But the moment I got on, I mean, but of course also, even though I kill animals, for a living, I still have a lot of respect for them. And so it's one of those things of the just splattering prey dogs for the fun of it. that's going to get to me. And then I saw the first dog down and just went, it looked like a carpet bombing. It looked like literally there'd been a bombing strafe done over this horse pasture. And I just went, oh my God, they have done so much damage.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then it was, and then it was on. I was regretting how many I didn't kill. And, and that's the same thing with feral hogs is I've seen, I've never seen it in person, but I've seen images I've actually seen it in person when I was down in Florida last. There was some feral hogs in the park that we were at, and I actually saw a rut that they had put through, and I was trying to figure out what the hell it was because it looked like someone was driving a bulldozer through the park.
And
I saw a sow that had like 15 piglets with her. And it's one of those things of the, oh, great. Yeah, they're pretty much rodents, but they weigh 200 pounds.
And they're tasty.
So, again, that's one of those things. I definitely want to shoot a pig and down south, and I definitely want to shoot a deer up in Maine because I'm from Maine, and you got to shoot a deer up in Maine because they're delicious and they're pests.
Yeah.
And they're delicious.
Yes.
And they're delicious.
Yeah, I don't mind shooting pest animals at all.
And I don't mind shooting things that are delicious at all.
They're full of tasty meat.
Yep.
I don't even mind shooting something that's perfectly well-mannered and really, really, really has given no cause. But, man, if it's delicious,
yep.
I'll shoot a cow right in the face. They're hardly a pest. But, hey, guess what, bossy? You've got tenderloins. There's a porterhouse in there somewhere, and I'm fixing to find it. I'd rather not you be alive when I start looking.
You know what is the best meat I've probably ever had in my life?
What's that?
Elk. Elk is just.
I don't know if I've ever had elk, but it's got to be right up there with moose, and moose is pretty badass.
I would eat that too, but elk is wow.
I bet they're very similar in flavor.
Delicious. Mm-hmm.
How does it compare to bison? I think that's probably something we've both had.
I don't like bison because it's too lean or something.
Okay. But like elk isn't?
It's different.
Did the person that, how did you have it? Did you have it? Was it larded elk that you had?
No, it was a frozen piece of the backstrap.
Okay.
Delicious.
All right. I wouldn't mind shooting one of those either.
I think those are like a really like, Jay, I know that hog hunting is kind of a trial. Like you have to be out there and out in the thing, but it really the hunting elk, I think is kind of like you have to go.
To where they are. Yes.
It's like a trek into the wilderness and hopefully you come back with an elk. I don't know.
Yeah, deer. Well, after my experience this week, I don't see deer being a huge challenge.
Yeah. You know, Mike works with a guy who has a big piece of land out in the country, near here. And he just, it's almost unfair, really. He shoots the deer on his own property.
Mm-hmm.
And he has kind of like a sniper's nest up in his barn. And he just takes the deer out. It's kind of awesome. And so, of course, you know, Mike is like, you know, I could hook you up with so-and-so from my office and you could go shoot the deer and get us a deer. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do?
Put him in charge of butchering.
No.
Bingo.
I don't know. He thinks I can do it, and he can't, so.
No, you can do it. Were you kidding?
Yeah, I definitely have people who – I definitely have relatives who have more than likely shot deer just out in the middle of nowhere, Maine. And the deer wandered onto my property. I'll shoot him and drag him into the garage. And, oh, did you need a tag for those?
Well, I think it's in Ohio. It's like you could do that on your own property. You get a number of, on your own. I don't know what the rules are, but it's not illegal for him to do that. So
Beautiful.
It's not like he's poaching deer or anything.
I don't think. I mean, it's one of those. There's certain animals that like.
We have, you know, so many deer.
The fact that seagulls and seals are protected species really pisses me off.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's what you call straight up fucking varmints.
We have cities that have so many deer that they need to hire sharpshooters to take out the deer so that, you know.
See, that's totally screwed up because they could charge people for deer tags and make money instead of spending money.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole suburban, we don't want to hurt the deer, and you know, we don't like hunting, and they're freaked out about the guns in their city.
They could do it with bow hunters.
Yeah, that's what it's when you're in an urban area, do bow hunting. Yeah, because
but these people are all freaked out about the guns, and so they think it's like the only ones thing. Well, we'll hire these sharpshooters that are just like, you know, guys with hunting licenses or whatever.
They're hunters.
Yeah.
They're like, Cletus, we're getting paid for this.
Yeah, but they don't get to keep any of the meat. They have to donate all the meat.
Screw that.
So, you know, it's like this weird thing. But seriously, we've gotten to the point where there are so many deer.
I know. Can you believe the low?
Some cities like get the deer and then shoot them full of birth control so they can't have babies.
Oh, that's such a fucking waste of money.
Yes, it's ridiculous. Off. Yeah.
So, what's really cool is if you shoot them full of this certain heavy metal, they don't have babies.
So they give them deer birth control and then let them out in the wild again.
Fucking Bambi Norplant.
So they can be like run over and eat people's yards and.
Yeah. And send children through the windshield of their minivan.
Right. Great. Well, you don't want to hurt Bambi, right?
I sure do.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing here in suburban Ohio where a lot of like, you know, the suburban moms, like they love Bambi and the nature. And well, the big argument is that we are taking their environment. We are taking their homes. And so we cannot kill them because we're actually encroaching on their homes.
Oh, yeah. Those people are assholes.
Yeah.
So I'm allowed to run over the seagulls in a McDonald's parking lot.
Yes.
Because guess what? They're a shorebird, and McDonald's is 100% human territory.
Right. I don't know. It's crazy.
People that talk all this like pseudo biology mumbo jumbo like they're on a house of cards. They know nothing about biology.
No, they watch Disney Channel or something.
And again, I mean, everything, it's like the stupid virus soliloquy in The Matrix, which is just completely bong water biology. And, you know, it's just one of those things of the, you know, there's, you know, talk about how humans, you know, expand into the, you know, the maximum extent of their environment and all that. That's every species. Every species does that. You go to Antarctica, there's people there. Why? Because we can live there. There aren't parrots there. You know why? Because they don't live there.
Right.
We were able to survive there, so guess what? We built a house. You know, and all of that. But, you know, and also, hey, guess what? You know, in my living room, there were carpenter ants. Is Weird Beard's living room the natural habitat for carpenter ants? No, but hey, guess what? They found a way to make a home in my house, and I found a way to feed them some boric acid.
Good for you.
Then they all died.
Boric acid works really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa. Ding. Whoa, that was loud.
That was loud.
Not me.
Not me either. Alan.
Alan.
Yeah. Alan, was that your ice watch?
It was not. I don't have one of those.
Yet.
Your Omega ice watch?
I would like to point out in the few minutes we have left. There was a fantastic court decision in the district court. Shit. Now this is where Alan shows that he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. The court, the bunch of people in D.C. sued because of the city's shall issue or not, you know, their requirement that they have a good reason to get a concealed carry permit.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, in D.C., nobody has a good enough reason.
Yep.
To get a concealed carry permit. So the judge, the judge basically granted a preliminary injunction in favor of the plaintiffs, preventing DC from using that, requiring a good reason, which makes DC CHL, basically shall issue. And the phraseology of his order left little doubt that he thought the city had no fucking hope of prevailing in, because it was just ridiculous. I mean, he basically told them, y'all are dumb. This is stupid. And I'm not buying any of it in judicial terms.
And he said that because it's true.
Yeah, he did. I mean, when you're suing a city for basically anything, this is more, I'm not a lawyer stuff, but you almost never get a preliminary injunction against the government for anything. Because judges go, it's the government. They got reasons for doing stuff. We'll wait and see. But, they got a preliminary injunction. I thought it was pretty awesome.
Oh, also, Alan, how about the, Texas wants to have open carry and that causes bikers.
Oh, yeah, that was funny. I don't know what that has to do with open carry, though, because none of them are
easy
open
if you've
carrying.
If you've got heroin and meth dealing bikers that do human trafficking, they're going to care about your carry laws.
Yeah, well, plus it's already illegal in Texas. If you're in a criminal gang, you can't possess a gun of any kind, I think.
And I don't think there's a bag limit.
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole thing was ridiculous.
Aren't you allowed to, if you see a 1% biker gang, aren't you allowed to just start killing them in Texas?
No.
Strap them on the hood of your pickup truck?
Yeah. No.
That's right. They're a varmint species. No limit. See, I can talk hunter now.
Which is mischief. But okay. Did y'all see the pictures of the bikers at Waco?
Fat bubbles with iPhones.
They look like a bunch of damn lawyers and accountants that are playing in a costume party. They're sitting there, all in lines, not giving the cops any shit, looking at their smartphones. I'm like, this is, and then they're trying to draw a comparison to the Maryland, the riots.
In
Baltimore. I'm like,
don't even.
A gunfight is not a riot.
It's a sad, sad thing when a bunch of hardcore drug dealing, gun running, white slavery dealing, prostitution running, 1% biker gangs are more well behaved than the citizens of Baltimore.
The news coverage is more favorable.
I don't know. I read Hunter S. Thompson's Hell's Angels.
We are not talking about the Hell's Angels here. This is not Hell's Angels. This is basically Texas biker gangs.
I like to think that because they're in Texas, they have some sort of manners. They're like Southern gentleman bikers.
I won't lie, though. They were called the Bandidos and the Hessians, which is really like the Sharks and the Jets.
They're the Bandidos, which have been around since like the
Cossacks,
'60s.
Right?
The Cossacks and the Scimitars. I know almost nothing about any of them except that the Bandidos were actually started in Houston.
I'm having kind of flashbacks of West Side Story.
Yeah, which one's the allegory to the Capulets?
Yeah. But, I don't know. I think there's a lot we don't know about that story. I'll just leave it at that.
And one of the things that we definitely do know is that Romeo and Juliet's the worst thing Shakespeare ever wrote.
Well, it's okay.
What's your favorite Shakespeare?
I like The Tempest.
Huh. Here's the thing.
And then of the more traditional stuff, I'm a big fan of Macbeth.
Here's the thing about Romeo and Juliet. It's a fucking comedy.
It's teenagers.
It's a comedy. It's a
teenagers in love.
It's teenagers acting like fucking idiots. And if you watch it the right way, and in the style it was originally intended to be presented in, it's hilarious. And the death scene at the end is just hysterical.
I want to
go to a production of Romeo and Juliet with Alan just so I can look around the auditorium as Alan is fucking pissing his pants laughing.
Yes.
And going,
I mean, it's the whole thing is ludicrous. It cannot possibly be a serious tragedy. It's just too over the top stupid.
I think over the top stupid is where it becomes so bad, but yeah. That's my
thoughts. Oh yeah. Jason in chat says Romeo and Juliet is the Renaissance version of Twilight. And he's true. He's right. It is.
Yeah.
It absolutely
is. All right. Fuck. Okay. Yeah. Point to Jason.
It is
true.
I did think the Joss Whedon Midsummer Night's Dream was pretty fucking awesome.
No. Midsummer.
What was it? Oh, damn it.
Oh.
I didn't see any of these, but I need to look
Not
this
Twelfth
up.
Night.
Taming of the Shrew?
No. It was, God, I'm blanking out.
It was, oh, Much Ado About Nothing. I'm
Thank
sorry.
Thank you.
Oh, how could I forget that one?
It was not Midsummer Night.
It was not Midsummer Night's Dream. It was Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
Who was in that?
Everybody.
It Nathan
had,
Fillion.
Yeah, it had Nathan Fillion. It had Amy Acker. It had
Wesley.
Oh, yeah, it had Wesley. What's his name?
What's his name?
Shit.
Ensign Wesley Crusher.
No, not that one.
Alexis Denisoff.
Oh, yes. you mean Carrie Elwes?
No.
What? Which Wesley were we talking about then?
Wesley from Buffy. Never mind.
Yeah.
Oh, there was Carry a Wesley and Buffy? I only watched the movie.
Oh, damn it, weird.
What?
Was he the one played by Donald Sutherland?
No, seriously.
I did not like the show. I've watched several episodes of it. It's crap compared to the movie. Fuck all y'all.
What?
Oh, my God.
What?
Weird.
Oh, no.
Movie was horrible.
The TV show had neither Donald Sutherland nor Rutger Hauer.
We have to break up now, weird.
Nor Paul Reubens.
This is worse than Jay not watching Firefly for so long.
I love the movie. I did not like the TV show.
You didn't
did
watch
not
it.
Like it.
You didn't watch it enough.
I didn't watch every single episode, but my wife has, and I've definitely sat through like at least half a dozen episodes, and I hated every single one of them.
One of the best terrible. TV series that was ever on television.
Negative Ghost Rider. That would be Magnum PI.
Oh my God.
Oh goodness.
I don't even know you.
Oh, come on, Magnum PI is a fucking great show. It had Tom Selleck. You know he's my real father.
I don't know you. God. Oh,
you know
look,
what else that Tom Selleck weird?
We are out of time.
Three Men and a Baby.
Yep.
Huh?
Directed by?
Paul Reubens.
Nope, Leonard Nimoy.
What?
Three Men and a Baby, directed by Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, for crap's sake.
Isn't that fucking cool? I need to rewatch that. It has been like decades since I've seen that movie, but I remember it being pretty awesome.
Did the baby talk in that one?
No,
that was Three Men and a Little Lady. Oh, that's a Look Who's Talking.
Look Who's Talking. Okay.
That was John Travolta, wasn't it?
Terrible.
Kirstie Alley.
Technically, the baby was Bruce Willis.
That's true. Right. It was.
And yes, we are out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time.
We should totally do the movie show one of these times.
I'd be good at that one.
You would.
Especially since we could talk about the Buffy movie.
Oh, God.
I have never seen the Buffy movie.
Don't. You'll hate it.
Joss Whedon hates it.
I'm sure.
But I do not. But I like Firefly. And I like Alien Resurrection, so long as I'm watching the parts that are Firefly.
Wait, what?
Alien Resurrection was written by Joss Whedon.
Oh, okay.
And the there is a essentially a pirate freighter in that movie called the Betty, and the crew of and the Betty is essentially a alpha version of Serenity.
Oh, cool! Huh. I didn't know that.
It's very much like you've got like and Ron Perlman is Jane.
Of course.
Cool.
Ron Perlman is 110% like his character Joner is definitely the alpha version of Jane Cobb.
I'm gonna have to look this up now.
Those parts are pretty good. The rest of it is just pretty much the reason why they haven't made another Aliens movie. It was pretty weak otherwise.
All right.
What was that noise? Was that someone's stomach or did somebody burp?
No, that was a pig.
That was me.
That was the pig.
What?
Oh, you're talking about Alien Resurrection, the movie.
Yeah.
Where they got the alien DNA.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They used it.
I think Weird's getting that confused with Enemy Mine.
I love Enemy Mine.
Oh my God.
Now, that is a movie that I have seen recently, and that movie is fucking amazing.
You know what was a damn good movie?
What's that?
The latest Avengers, Ultron.
I've heard nothing but lackluster reviews.
Really? I thought it was fucking awesome.
What I have heard good reviews for is the new Mad Max movie. Which
I cannot wait to see.
I've heard that one is awesome too. Yeah.
Yep. But
we saw the trailer for that, Alan, when we went to go see Chappie.
I know.
We did. And it looked, the trailer was awesome.
Yep.
All right, but we got to get back to brass tacks here. Jay, did you not like Enemy Mine?
I loved Enemy Mine.
Okay, I'm just
one of those like it's one of those like obscure second tier 80s sci-fi movies.
Yeah, but you did. But did you like Ice Pirates?
Ice Pirates. Specific. My overall statement in the review for that movie is the sex scene was obviously written by a virgin. And it had space herpes.
I like the space herpes.
I like Ice Pirates 2, the musical.
Good night, Internet.
Yep.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Okay.
Good night.